Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable! Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
Welcome to another bonus episode of the Last Round Podcast. Today we have special guest, man of the moment, Chris Lovejoy. Thanks for joining me, Chris.
What up? What's good?
So you're kind of the man that everyone's talking about, you know, the managed to get the big fight this coming weekend with Dave Allen.
Yeah.
But before we kind of jump into that, I just want to get you a bit of your background so people kind of know where you came from. You came into boxing kind of late. So what were you doing before you turned pro at 32?
I was just running around trying to make a way, you know, trying to figure it out. I played football. I was out and about, man, working, you know, just kind of waiting for something to happen, you know, trying to figure it out.
And did you have any boxing experience before turning pro, any amateur experience?
No, I had no amateur experience, no amateur fights. I had like a little boxing background. I used to go to the gym here and there because I like boxing. That's why I would go hit the bag sometimes. But I never had like a spar or hit no mitts or nothing. I would just go run around, do some shadow boxing, hit the bag and stuff like that.
I saw an interview you did with Ellie Sekbak where you said you're 600-0 on the street, though.
Yeah, man, from my background, we used to fight a lot as kids, man. You know, you'd be fighting in, you know, jail and streets and different little areas. And you know, people don't like certain people in certain areas. So it'd be like a lot of fights. And where I'm from in L.A., it's a lot of shootings, but you really get your name from fighting. You know, you really get your name from being a street fighter and who you can beat up and stuff like that.
Are you full time now, or do you work as well as train?
Well, now what's this question? Now I'm a full time boxer because I got a real fight. But before this last week, no, I wasn't. I was just like I said, I was working trying to figure it out, just kind of waiting for opportunity. That hopefully give me some time so I can get in shape and go do it. But this opportunity came, and I wasn't really worried about, you know, me getting in super, super tip-top shape. I could always go some rounds. So, yes. So, answer your question, now I'll be a full-time real boxer. But before this, no, I was kind of like, you know, a lot of people be scared of me, man, or don't want to give me opportunity or don't know, or it's more risk, more reward. So, I can never really, like, take something serious to go do a real full camp. I got to worry about working and taking care of my family.
So you're currently with trainer Derek Riles, is that right? The ex-pro?
Yes.
I did a Google search of him and I realized that he did a round with Charlie Zelenoff where he took Charlie out in one round.
I think he did. He did, yeah.
Before that, were you with Floyd Mayweather Sr.? Because you seem to have gone around Florida, Las Vegas, and L.A.
Yeah. I thought you asked me a question before that. You said you saw I was with Floyd Mayweather Sr. and then you said I move around. What were you asking me?
Yeah, did you used to train with Floyd Mayweather Sr.?
Oh yeah, that's who started me off boxing. Yeah.
And then you moved to LA because I saw some pictures of you with Buddy McGirt.
Yeah, I moved to LA. Like I said, I've been with James Toney, Buddy McGirt, Kevin Henry, Kevin Morgan, Freddie Roach. You know, I was just trying to get game and. I'm saying like a little bit of knowledge from everybody, whoever I was meeting. I never really had like a real program or real fight coming up. I was just training whoever I could train with. So there was no reason to have like a real trainer and lock in and be consistent. So I was just, you know, just trying to just learn my craft as much as I can from different people.
Who would you say you've learned the most from so far?
I really can't say who I learned the most from. Cumulatively, I just learned a lot from everybody. You know, I really can't say. I don't know.
You're currently 19-0 with 17 first-round knockouts. I saw you said in a previous interview the reason you've kind of gone down to Mexico and built your record up there is just due to the lack of amateur experience. Is that right?
Not due to the lack of amateur experience, but due to I need people to take me serious, meaning that I got to go get me a couple fights under my belt for someone to give me a real fight because I have no amateur fight. So, and I really have like, you know, at coming like me, I'm healthy. I feel good. I feel young. in my prime. From the outside looking in, some people might say 36 years old is kind of getting towards the end. You know, the end of your career, you might be too old for this. You might be too old for a promoter or someone to invest in you. So with all that being said, I had to go rush and get fights to catch up. Catch up meaning have the record of someone else who's my age who's in the spotlight. So now we're all in the same ballgame. And there was no other way I could have got that many fights, you know, comfortably with those type of opponents with anybody else. I mean, if you look at it, 19 wins, 19 knockouts. If you were trying to, let's say you're a promoter or manager or whatever, and you wanted to get this young kid come out of the Olympics or, you know, the amateurs, he's looking good, and you want to get him to 19-0, 19 knockouts. Well, that's going to cost you and your promotion a lot of money, you know, paying for shows and paying the opponents, blah, 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 however you're going to do it. And it's a chance they might not get there. It's a chance they get hurt. You know, they might not make it. So I kind of just made everything ready for whatever promoter or whoever wants to give me a shot. You know what I mean? So I had to do that. Like, I had to. It wasn't just because I didn't have an amateur. It was just because that's what's hot. You know, no one's going to take a 32-year-old, 33-year-old man with one or two fights with no experience. You know, if I sign you for what? Everyone's wanted up. So I had to just keep going.
Have you been close to a big promotion before?
I've met almost every promoter, you know, but it's kind of like the same thing. Like, you know, they want to see what I can do. You know, they want to give me a show, a fight against one of their fighters. And, you know, it's not for any money worth it. And it's like, you know, it just never really made sense at the time. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
It looked like you were close to getting the Trevor Bryan fight. What happened to that?
I'm supposed to get the fight. The fight still is kind of like pending almost. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're trying to work it out. You know what I mean? But once I win this fight, I won't need the Trevor Bryan fight no more. You know, I spoke to Don King. We talk all the time. He's getting something ready. He said he might have a title shot for me. But me being me, you know, and not signing anybody, I got to go support my family. And I saw this opportunity right here, and I had to go seize it. Like, this is a perfect opportunity. The opportunity for me to feed my family and to fight on the main stage, and it's a winnable fight. Very, very winnable fight, you know. And I'm going to win this fight. That's why I came out here. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not, like, starving, you know, for money, so I had to come take the fight. It was like I saw the opportunity, and I saw I could come win this fight and take over that fast and be a celebrity overnight. You know, if I win this fight right here, you know, I'm in a conversation to fight anybody now. I got the record. I got the ranking. They just want to see me fight.
Just to explain to us all how the fight materialized.
Well, I was in Florida. I was on vacation looking at a potential job. I wasn't planning on really fighting until probably like January next year sometime, maybe in the spring. And I saw David Allen needed an opponent. So I started saying what I say, talking my stuff, and he accepted the challenge. I mean, within like an hour, I was talking to the matchmaker, Eddie Hearn.
Did they reach out to you?
No, I reached out to David Allen. He put a post on his page. So I did a call-out video. Added him and Matchroom and Eddie Hearn. Like, what's up? I'm 19-0. Y'all need a opponent? Like, they was going back and forth from what I saw. So it's like, you don't have to go back and forth. I'm here 19-0, 19 knockouts. You want to fight? Send a contract. I'll come out there right now. What's up? So with that kind of pressure and people watching, they got to, like, see what's going on. Like, well, shit, you want to fight anybody, then here's your man. You want it or not? And Dev Allen stepped up. Like, no, I'm serious. Let's do it. Send a contract. I'm going to show you how I do it. And I was on a plane the next day.
I saw that you'd blocked Eddie Hearn before on Instagram.
Man, so when I got here, right? Let me see. When I got here, my tools, my clippers, my edgers, they don't work here because of the voltage, right?
Mm.
So when you go downstairs, number one, the voltage don't work and they don't fit inside the plugs.
Yes, yeah, so three.
I said, listen, this is not working. So we have adapter. So it gives you an adapter. The adapter's not the problem. It's the voltage is too high. So I need a converter. So I've been on Instagram getting stories and stuff like that. Now I'm getting like 9,000 views, and somebody has to be seeing this. So I said, listen, I need a converter. All you people watching the story, tell Eddie Hearn I need a converter, not an adapter. So I was just didn't want to be bothered sending him a message. So I sent a message, man, I need a converter, man. saw the message, but he didn't respond. I'll block him. I'll block him. So maybe he was busy. Maybe he looked at him, was going to get back at me. But I blocked him to let him know, like, oh, he's my, yeah, I'm going to block you. I need my respect. So I started talking to him, and they sent me one. So I actually have three of them. I ordered one, somebody else bought me one, and Eddie Hearn requested that I get one. Bad thing is, they don't even work. They're still not strong enough, but they're cool.
Eddie did an IFL TV interview today where he was saying that every time he'd come to America, you'd pop up and you'd be there talking to him and trying to get fights. When was the first time you met him?
I met him at the, there was a fight at the Forum. It was a Diazian show. I don't know who was fighting. It was the Forum in Inglewood in my hometown at Los Angeles. And long story short, man, I drove from Vegas because someone knew someone's daughter was working for Diazian, and they said they can get me in. So I said, okay, Eddie Hearn going to be there? I can talk to him? He said, yeah. So I get there. They arranged for us to talk. And I get down there, and he already know who I was. I've been calling him out since then, calling his fighters out, adding them and sending messages this whole time. So, yeah, I popped up. You know, we talked. You know what I'm saying? He said, give me some heavyweights and we can work something out. Because I was like, man, you know what? I don't need you to sign me, bro. I'm not asking for no favors. You know, at this point, just give me a fight, and then we judge it off of that. He was like, no, I'm not going to do you like that. I got something better for you. I'm going to give you a list of heavyweights, I'm going to let you pick. I'm like, cool. Say no more. He called me. We talked. Whoop. He was in Vegas at Devin Haney's camp. I pop up on him again. What's up, man? You never sent me that list. What's up? Oh, yeah, I give you a list. He gave me a list. We talked like maybe two more times. I didn't hear from him again. It was a lot going on with the Joshua fight. It was probably trying to reschedule that, but you know, by me not being in the circuit, it was no sense of him hitting me up, him calling me. It was no need. You know, he probably was like, he ain't going nowhere. So, but now I'm in the loop. So now, you know, we have a different relationship. We actually talked and worked some things out, and you know, he gave me some advice, and you know, and he gave me opportunity, most important. So, you know, I think he wants me to win, but whether he wants me to win or not, if I win, business is business, and I think he'll have a nice opportunity for me.
It paid off, right? All that, the drive there and, you know, popping up to see him?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you go what you know, what you see. So, you know, you keep seeing me, something is right, you know. It's not a coincidence, you know. So, and I was still undefeated and in a good position when I called. So, and he knew who I was already. So, he's like, oh, yeah, I know Chris. So, let's make it happen. He's been asking for a fight for 2 years now, so let's see what he's about. And that's how it happened.
You're kind of well known as the king of the call out. You've called out Joe Joyce, Nathan Gorman, Trevor Bryan. Obviously, now you've got this fight. You looked kind of close to getting the Joe Joyce fight because you were going back and forth with Sam Jones, right?
Yeah. See, that was like, was that the first call out I did? I don't know. No. That was the second one. The first one, no, that was like the first official, like official real call out video. And I really, really wanted Joe Joyce because I was watching his boxing style and I thought I could beat him in the style. So, you know, his manager would step in, and Joe Joyce, like a humble guy, he don't really want to get in all the internet stuff. So his manager stepped in. So we start going back and forth. After all that, we end up being friends. You know what I mean? It's cool. So, yeah, that was like the first call out. And then as far as Nathan Gorman go, I never heard of him before. They reached out to me for a fight. They reached out to me for like maybe intern WBC. They got the fight approved and sent the contract. I signed the contract and they reneged on the contract. Didn't follow through. So I kind of lost respect for him and his camp for that.
There was no reason for me to do that. You were close to fighting Guido, another one of Sam Jones' fighters.
Yep. Then the coronavirus hit. There was a lot going on, and that was a potential fight. You know, he just came off a loss, so I don't have a fight going now. But, he didn't lose a draw. So that was a potential fight for this year, too. We were most likely going to fight this year.
I know your nickname is Pretty Boy, but I was trying to find footage of you all over YouTube. I think you should change it to The Ghost.
Yeah, The Ghost is cool, huh? Well, after this one, it'll be a whole lot of film for this one.
Is that something that you've kind of done purposely? Like, you know, going down to Mexico, you're trying to making sure there's not too much video of you so people, like, you know, obviously can't see your style?
Of course. I did it on purpose. I mean, number one, I did everything out of my pocket, out of my own finances. I couldn't really, like, pay everybody to come down there and record stuff like that. So with that being said, if I was to do it, it's not doing anything for me. It'll be doing anything for everybody else and my potential opponents. So now, there was no reason for me to do it. It worked out fine.
Can you just set the record straight? Because there seems to be two different stories about the spar that you had with Tyson Fury.
Set what straight? What's the story?
Well, he seems to say that he got in there and he dropped you. And then from the previous interviews I've seen with you, you just said it was a normal spar.
Yeah, man. I don't know why he said that. I don't know why he would say that. I mean, even if he did do that, you don't say that. So I don't know why he said that, you know. But I don't want to say what I did or what I didn't do. I just know we worked and it was good work. And I would love to fight him. That's it. That's all. Because, you know, he went on record and said something like that when I have the footage, you know. I put the footage up, you know what I mean? So where is the knockout at? Like, why you didn't post the footage? You had 30 people there. Everybody had cameras. Then when I had my camera, you made my guy take the camera away. You know, so it was a lot of big names there that day. It was just full in training camp. And there was 15 other heavyweights there, you know. So, and he's the only one saying that. I don't know why he said that. He must have been mad at me or something. I didn't want me to get any clout or, you know, recognition off of sparring with him. Who knows? You know, he might have something personal he didn't like about me. But from what I saw, he was a likable guy. We was cool. You know, if I see him right now, I'm like, what's up, man? Why are you telling people you knocked me out, man? Because he put that on there. And a lot of people always ask me that. Well, no, he didn't knock me out. I never been knocked out of sparring and none of that stuff. So as far as what we did, we just got some work, and it was a good experience. And that was cool.
Turning the attention to this weekend, what does it mean for you to, you know, be on a pay-per-view card like this?
Man, it means a whole lot, man. I'm so grateful. You know, it's a stress reliever. I've been really wanting for a good fight, looking for a good payday for forever now since I started boxing. This is why I came into boxing, to get like a decent payday and to get some limelight and really let the people see me. You know what I mean? So, I mean, shout out, you know, Eddie Hearn and the White Rhino, David Allen, for even giving me the opportunity. You know what I mean? I'm forever grateful to him, to both of them, for even doing it. You know what I mean? Because I wouldn't be here right now. And it just means a lot to me. You know, it means a lot to me just to show that you can actually get this opportunity if you just keep trying and just don't take no for an answer. You know what I mean? And no promoter, no manager. I mean, this is classic stuff, man, to land a pay-per-view fight with a nice payday. You know, it's kind of unheard of. I don't even have any film.
Is it just for this one fight? Is there going to be two fights, three fights?
No, it's just a one fight. I mean, it's a little clauses in there for if they want an option for a rematch and stuff like that. But it's just a one fight deal. Just one and done. I'm just filling up the card, and he's giving me opportunity to do that.
Have you been to the UK before?
No, this is my first time.
Can you understand everybody? How's the accents out there for you?
I can stand pretty much. It's kind of like it's not too bad. If someone slows down and talk, like, can you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I live in California. I'm from the UK, but I live in California.
Okay, yeah. So, I can pretty much understand when people talk slow and say it clear for me, but it's like a little accent that's kind of like tricky if you're not really used to it. You got to kind of guess, put the words together what they're saying.
How's the bubble been in the COVID test?
Man, I'm just sitting here gaining weight. Can't move. You know, can't go nowhere. For the first 2 days, I couldn't even leave the room. So, you know, but it's cool, you know. We figured out they're feeding us good, treating us good, giving us what we need, you know, it's a safe environment, you know, healthy food. It's cool. We got what we need.
You touched on your weight there. You seem to be kind of a lot heavier than your previous fights. Is that just because you haven't been in camp, or were you looking to put weight on? Or
combination of all three. I haven't been to camp. I'm looking to put on weight, meaning muscle mass. And, you know, it's just a lot going on. They got the coronavirus going on. Wasn't able to really get in the gym and, you know, focus on other things. And, you know, but I'm not that bad. You know, I'm a little heavier as far as weight. But as far as physicality and being able to move and stuff like that, agility, endurance, I'm actually in better shape, boxing shape than I was when I was 300 pounds, 320 pounds, you know what I mean? So I like to have the mass. You know, I feel like I'm too small. Like I'm like a power hitter. So I like the mass, the extra mass. Of course, I want to have a six-pack like everybody else. But
how do you see the fight going?
I see him running for like 3 or 4 rounds. Honestly, I see him running because people tell him I'm out of shape. Oh, he's big, man. He's out of shape. Just gas him out. So I honestly see him running first 3 or 4 rounds, just throwing a couple punches and standing around. And I see me knocking him out maybe 6th or 7th round, man. You know, he's not going to run forever. I mean, they'll probably stop the fight if he just run. You know, but if I get close to him, it's over. Just one punch, it's over with. One shot. He's done.
You talked about after you win the fight, making a special announcement. Can you give us any hint what that will be?
It'll be an announcement. It'll be a special announcement.
Is that to do with like an upcoming fight or something like that?
Just the future with boxing, possibly a new fight, you know, probably maybe a new team, you know, some new ventures going on, you know, but just a special announcement, you know.
All right, because, you know, I just want to thank you for your time today. If you want to tell everybody where they can find you on social media, you know, obviously what you have coming up.
I'm mainly on Instagram story. My Instagram is Christopher Lovejoy with the J-O-Y. The O is a zero. That's where I'm at. I'm on Twitter as well, Lovejoy Boxing. I'm mainly on Instagram. So that's where I'm at. I reply to everybody. I probably got like 1,000 direct messages right now because I've been accepting everyone's message requests and just talking to everybody. So that's where I'm at. Instagram, Christopher Lovejoy. The J-O-Y has a zero in it, not an O. And I'm on Twitter, Lovejoy Boxing.
Awesome. And it'll be on Sky Sports in the UK and DAZN over here in the US.
Yep.
Awesome, Chris. Good luck from everybody here, and we'll catch you again.
Thank you. See you next time.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.